In Ephesians chapter 4, 13, it tells us, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we have to live by the measure of Christ. I'm going to tell you five ways to be more Christ-like. You got to live up to Him in a matter of materialism, the tongue, your influence, your attitude, and your sexual purity, in order that we might be more mature Christian. You know, in this day and age, there's a lot of people who don't believe in one true God. They believe in a material thing, money. Now, money is a cool thing and all, but you can't let it take over your life. I mean, really, how long is money going to last? Can you buy your way to heaven? No. Job 1:21 tells us that naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then again, in Luke chapter 12, verse 22, it tells us, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? So we know God's going to take care of us. You may not have that $1 million house, or the nicest TV system, or the best car in your driveway, but if you do what He says, you're going to have the best reward of all, heaven. If you turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, it tells us there, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if you do what Jesus says, you'll have your treasures for all eternity. But if you just do whatever you want, you'll have your treasures, but you're going to have them for a blink of an eye. And then you'll die and spend the rest of eternity in like a fire and brimstone. You need to share and not be greedy. The Gentiles of Ephesians 4:17 were very greedy people. The Bible says, this I say, therefore, and testify the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of their ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. These verses tell you how to measure yourself against Christ in the aspect of materialism. God has given us a tongue, which you can do a lot of good things, a lot of good and pure things, but you can also do things that are evil, such as cursing. If you turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, it tells you there, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will also be condemned. So, every idle word man speaks will be taken into account of judgment. So, what you thought nobody heard this morning, God knows about that? Yes, God knows all. In Ephesians 4:29, it tells us there, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace unto the hearers. So God gave you a word for kind words and thanks, says Ephesians 5:4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather for giving thanks. A good example of the tongue is the story of Job. Satan tried to make Job curse God, so he killed his 10 children and stole his 11,000 cattle. And still, he would not curse God. In Job chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, it tells us, he took unto himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself in the midst of the ashes. And then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? And all this Job did not sin with his lips. Satan had struck Job down with painful boils from head to toe, and he took himself to scraping himself with a shard of pottery. That is the amount of pain he was in. And still, he held fast to his Christian attitude. Now, if you turn to Hebrews 4:15, it tells you there that, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. This high priest is Jesus, and he's went through the exact same thing that we go through every day. We can't be perfect, but Jesus wants us to live by the standards that he set for us. We ain't going to come close to being how he was. We need to do what he says. Now, there's also another thing you can do with your tongue. It's lying. You've always heard it's bad, but why is it bad? In Acts chapter 5, it tells the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira had sold a piece of land and went up to the apostle Peter and had told them that when they gave him a portion of the money, that was all the money they had received for this plot of land. Then Peter said to Ananias, do you not know that you are not just lying to man, you are lying to God? And so Ananias was struck down. Then later, the same thing happened to Sapphira. That doesn't sound like lying is a very good thing, now does it? The consequence is death. If you turn to Romans chapter 3, 13, it then tells you, their throat is an open tomb, with their tongues they have practiced deceit, the poison of asps is under their lips. Now, does that sound like something that you would like to have in your mouth? No, that sounds dirty and defiling. Same thing lying is. If you do what these verses say, it tells you how to measure yourself against Christ and an aspect of the tongue. Another thing God has given everybody is their influence. Everybody has an influence from the moment they're born until past their death. Your influence can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. Hopefully it's a good thing. A good example of a bad influence is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was a good man according to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. But where he lived changed him so much that he actually offered his own daughters to the men of the city. And later it affected his daughter so much that they got him drunk and had children by him. Another example would be Solomon's wives. They turned his heart when he was old and made his heart unloyal to God. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, it tells us that you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Is it then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men? You are the light of the world. A city that is hidden, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is how we need to be. It also says in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. People need to be able to see with our everyday actions that we are members of the Church of God and worship Him every day. If we do what the Bible says, people will be able to notice that we're different from the rest of the people on the earth. We are the salt of the earth. This is what we are. Our own influence and the influence of our friends plays a major part in our lives, people, and ourselves. Our friends can hold a major influence over people. If you hang out with a crowd that does drugs and stuff, they're going to try and introduce you to it. So, the measure of Christ should be the stature of our influence. God also gave us another thing. It's a Christian attitude. Some people may ask, what is a Christian attitude? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 38, the Christian attitude was, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever so slaps you on your right cheek, turn also the left unto him. If anybody wants to see you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you. Do not turn him away. He then said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and 44, you have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. He then said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do unto them also, for this is the law and the prophets. There were times when Jesus became angry, but his anger was a righteous anger, and he did not sin. His anger was based at the sin and the corruption in the lives of those around him. Like Jesus, sin, we should care about that. It should be a big concern to us in the lives of ourselves and in the lives of others. If you want to measure up to Christ, you have got to have a Christian attitude. And another thing is, nowadays, pretty much everybody has premarital sex. But Christ tells us not to in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. It tells us there, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ our God. What is the definition of fornication? It is illicit sexual intercourse. It not only says that, but in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, it tells us that but I say to you that whosoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, it tells us, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. In Hebrews 4, 15, it tells us, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So, Jesus went for all that we went through. He went for the same exact things every day, and yet he did not sin. Therefore, he cannot sympathize with us. So in Matthew 15, verse 19, it then tells us that for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, and blasphemies. So God puts fornication up there with murder, evil thoughts, blasphemies, thefts, and false witness. That sounds pretty serious to me. And some people may laugh it off, but it is a very serious thing according to these verses. If you measured yourself against Christ with your own sexual purity, how would you fare? In conclusion, do you measure up to Jesus? Do you live a pure life? If you don't, then why not? If you read this book I got in my hand, and do what it says, he walks the street of gold. In Ephesians 4:13, it then tells us, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you measure up to Christ?